If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Thank you for tuning in to the free edition of The Daily Shoa on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, therightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded. We have no sponsors. We have no mega donors. We have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure, so you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you. All right. Whatever happened to my border wall and my deportation force? That is the question.
Well, whatever happened to... Remember Nazi? Remember say no, ask about Zionism in Israel?
Yeah, sure.
Nazi?
Yeah.
Well, you remember the original subject of Nazi?
It was a
Peter
border wall,
Subotnick,
right?
The journalist Peter Subotnick.
Uh-huh.
He's got a new article out today.
Oh, wow.
On Barry Weiss's website.
Oh, hold on,
Jacob,
let's do
just send this to me.
I'm basking in the glow of something Jewish to be, like, mad at. for the next like hour and a half. That's exactly what I needed.
It's great.
You're not mad that Alex Jones got his Twitter back?
No. I kind of just don't care.
I'm kind of ambivalent on that. Why would that make? I'm kind of curious why that would make me mad.
Everybody else is mad. Sam Harris is mad.
Oh.
Yeah, oh no.
I'm just something.
Oh my god. This article has a picture of fucking John Fetterman at the top of it.
Nice.
It's like everything I could possibly want.
Everything you wanted.
It just needs like the Ultimate Warrior and Dave Mustaine, and this is my favorite article ever. All I need.
Well, remember, this is the guy who I had on the phone, and I basically got him to freak out when I kept asking him about like Israel.
What about Israel?
He flipped out.
Yeah.
So this is Peter Svodnik. I was wrong about John Fetterman.
Well, you didn't realize I didn't expect John Fetterman to lick Israel Grundle.
He had two functioning brainal lobes, and I was wrong.
I thought this working class white guy was not going to be like pro Israel enough. I mean, he changed. This dude flip flopped on so much stuff.
I mean,
fracking being the biggest.
Here's what he says.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought the Pennsylvania senator was a trust fund kid pretending to have tough guy morals. Okay, so you were right the first time.
That's true.
Yeah. What's wrong?
But after October 7th, he proved to be the real deal.
Oh.
He's a trust fund kid that wants to continue getting a trust fund from like the Zionist establishment.
Fund, so he's siding with Israel. That's how you do that.
His family's trust fund might be running out, but like the Zionist trust fund
that never runs out. God damn it.
What's
up? I started scrolling and I got like a fucking paywall.
Oh,
I hate paywalls.
Hold on,
Wait, no.
I love one. There's one paywall I really like a lot.
There's only one good one,
and everyone should get behind it because it's worth it. It's a lot of fun. Well, now I just don't have pictures of Fetterman, but I do have the full.
Well, how come you get to have the?
Because I went into Breivik and I clicked block scripts. Do you think Barry Weiss and the free? See, you know how it's like. Remember the Schwartz. There's two sides to every Schwartz. There's the upside and the downside.
Yeah.
Like the downside of the Schwartz is like the conservative Jews. Like they can't afford a paywall that can't be like thwarted by like it's so easy. Like these old school paywalls where you just turn off scripts and it's like now the entire article's here. Like if you go to like the New York Times, that doesn't work anymore. You go to Wall Street Journal, like that doesn't fucking work. You go to these like scuffed fucking kabod guy sites. Of course that works because they're the downside. Yeah.
Scuffed about guys. All right, well, let me do that. I started doing an archive.is, and now I'm getting like all the green and blue like computer text like as it archives and copies all the URLs.
Well, you want me to start reading?
Let me try.
So, where were you? Anyway, no one.
Yeah,
was,
start blocking scripts.
I thought I knew exactly who Fetterman was. All right, Fetterman, who made $150 a month when he was mayor of Braddock from 2006 to 2009. God, I hate him so much. That was when he would go on.
Yeah,
Bill Maher be like,
that was also when he held the nigger up, so you can't be. You know,
I was the mayor of the poorest town in Pennsylvania. He would say that like every time a question was tossed at him, like a softball from like Bill Maher, he'd be like, "Well, I was the mayor of the poorest town in Pennsylvania," and like he would answer the question. It was so pathetic. Was getting help from his parents in his late 40s. Okay. Anyway, no one was home or showed up, and the campaign refused to make the candidate available. So I guess he went and visited them. I assumed he was hiding. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to let on how much damage his stroke. Oh my God. Let me start that again. I assumed he was hiding. He didn't want to let on how much damage his stroke had done to his minor body. Didn't want anyone peering too closely at his carefully curated cartoon image of a down-to-earth Rust Belt Democrat. The hoodie, the tats, even the hunkering 6'8" frame. And the semi-permanent scowl seemed too stilted and staged, like a caricature. A little too Eminem. This looked like a job for me. It felt like a sham, and the best that could be said of Fetterman is he was someone else's puppet. Okay, article over. He's
like
someone
Eminem, like the clot that occluded one of his carotid arteries. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's like an M&M-shaped clot blocking oxygen to his brain.
Floating around up there.
Yeah, so Svodnik occasionally banging into like important tissue. And you know.
So Svodnik says, I was wrong. I mean, totally, indefensibly, unbelievably wrong. In the past 2 months since Hamas attacked Israel, the Democratic, now junior senator from Pennsylvania, has pulled off something that few, if any, of those at the highest echelons of the national power structure are capable of. He surprised everyone by supporting Israel while they were under attack by Hamas. Like, are you serious? He's done this by rising above the crassness and confusion of the mob, by stating plainly that which should be clear, by staking out moral turf, by refusing to buckle. I forcefully condemn these cowardly, horrifying, unprovoked attacks on Israel by Hamas, Fetterman tweeted on October 7th.
It's like...
I'm just utter shock. As Israeli
troops... How the hell are you turn scripts off? Like, what is the menu?
I'll just put it on screen.
I see it on screen, but I can't really read it.
You click on the little thing and see how the shields are up? Right here. Advanced controls.
Oh.
Block scripts.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Now you'll have the entire...
It's all set.
If you've got a scuffed kebab paywall, that's all you need.
Yeah. That's not going to work on TRS, by the way.
No, because we're with the upside. We're with the actual powerful Jews, right? We work for those guys.
Yeah.
That's what we work for.
Buy me a bigger house.
So
stingy ass Jew.
So now I can focus on... Now I can focus... Yeah, they should get us all bigger everything.
Bigger houses.
Now I can focus on the article. He has done this by rising above the crassness and confusion of the mob, by stating plainly that which should be clear, by staking out moral turf, by refusing to buckle or refusing to wear a belt.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, he doesn't, you know, he wears his basketball
shorts.
Yeah,
he doesn't need to buckle anything. He doesn't wear a belt. He wears sweats. So he doesn't need a buckle.
I want him to show up at the Senate in his pajama pants. Like, that's all that's missing. Is like, he's a pajama pants American.
Just like a sweatshirt and flannel pajama pants, like what I'm wearing right now.
I want him to wear some of like candy canes and like hollies on them, because it's like Christmas time, like some festive holiday jammies.
I want him to dress like Ethan Klein in the video where he went to like all the vape shops in New York City. Like, to show up to Congress like that. Like a big SpongeBob t-shirt with like smoking a joint or something like that.
Sounds good. So he says, he condemned the cowardly, horrifying attacks, blah, blah, blah. Attacking innocent civilians is particularly despicable, just not when Israel does it, right, John? Like Fetterman? And reflects the craven behavior of this terrorist group.
20,000 innocent people, that's we'll just go ahead and do that. You know?
I unequivocally stand with the people of Israel now and always. The way I
read
that. Why? Well, because he's a U.S. senator.
I would love to just ask somebody that, like, straight up, like, yeah, but why?
I would like to ask, like, the sort of like Rust Belt liberals or whatever. Like, if you're like a Pittsburgh white, whatever, union guy or something, did you like fall for this shtick that he's so cool and down to earth? And what do you think about this? What do you think about
they
it?
Fell for the fact that like he probably will get them more benefits than the Republicans would. That's like generally, I think, the calculus made. Okay. I don't think people really fall for this shit. I don't know. I could be wrong about that.
I don't know.
But who knows?
I mean, they do the
image. I don't really know
what's
in the mind
of people
that vote for Republicans and Democrats.
I mean, they do the image.
Bring myself.
But they do the image thing for a reason. The amount of people that can see through it, there's got to be people that can't see through it. Like, I've seen, like, they've tried to push this as, like, you know, John Fetterman's been replaced by a body double. It's in the picture that the idiot Q people.
No, John Fetterman's just. Yeah,
but
degrading.
But no. That's not the Q-tards that posted those pictures. They were posting a picture of a huge fan of John Fetterman who was cosplaying as him. Like there are people who enthusiastically like. That's what I'm saying. So it's like it works on somebody. And I want to know, like the guy who cosplays Adam. Like, do you like the Israel thing? Like, what do you feel about Hamas? Like, are you just a neocon when it comes to foreign policy? Like, you know, like I would love to ask that guy. I would love to ask the John Fetterman body double. Like, what do you think about the October 7th? And probably, oh, I come down there too. They're killing civilians. What about when Israel kills civilians?
I would be willing to bet that there's a lot of, you know, you might be able to get like blue collar whites that aren't that up on foreign policy that just side against the more brown side. Just sort of like,
I mean,
inherently.
That's been a constant problem. That's been a constant problem.
Which is a problem, and the Jews exploit that problem, right? But eventually, and sort of, I think one of the things that the Jews are going through right now is a realization that, like, oh, like falling back on the sort of latent racism of white America to protect Israel isn't going to work when, like, we destroyed white America. And this is sort of what everyone's trying to tell them. It's like, yeah, see, this is kind of a problem you've created for yourself. Like, we can unpack all of that. Like, there's so much to unpack with all of that shit. Like, Israel and white people and neocons and, like, the brown people and all that shit. Like, but, like, that's sort of the fact that they never wanted to admit is that Zionism kind of relied on sort of passive latent racism from white people to survive.
Yeah, you have to see, like, the only democracy in the region is basically, like, saying the only white country in the region is what they're trying to put out with that. So you
that's what they're trying to tell you. And they're trying to tell you, like, Jews are basically just kind of like you with a different, like a funny hat or
something. That's why they do the, like, you know, Western culture was, or Western civilization was born. I can't remember who was saying
that. Which is all bullshit.
What they're trying to say is, like, this is, here's the one Middle East country with a Western culture. You're like, oh.
Oh, by the way, if you didn't listen to last night's show, which I'm sure you didn't, like, that shit was a riot. First of all,
actually, you're telling me that we had to get on early. I was actually going to do that. I was interested to hear what that chemistry was like. You inspect.
No, it was good. It was fucking good. But like, we had the broad from like the Jews and Christians United for Israel or something like this, International Federation of Christians and Jews, and she kept so. Whenever she says the word Israel, though, she had like the worst vocal fry, so she's like Israel. So we had to.
That's hence the title of the show.
We have to just say Israel like that from now on. That's
good. No, you got to McNab it. You got to be like Israel.
Yeah, that's like
McNab says it like the worst. But like McNab says it like the worst boomer con Israel lover. Like, we got to defend Israel. But then McNab's like, I'm gonna destroy Israel. And I'm like, I'm confused. Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's daily show. The first half, anyway. With annoying ads interrupting it throughout. You can get away from this by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and signing up for a subscription. You will be treated to the full show on a convenient RSS feed in one giant file. You'll never have to hear these sales pitches again, and you'll get to comment and use the Bang forum. What fun! Join us, therightstuff.biz/paywall.
We gotta boycott Israel.
Israel.
Let's just destroy Israel. But then, like, when you have some, like, fat Yenta who was born in the Midwest and, like, moved to Israel, then she's like,
Israel.
The Washington Post immediately blamed Israel.
This Jewish quaver to your voice, like, Israel.
No, go
there's on. That, but she was just doing, like, that's why it was called vocal fry out as they strike you. That was a Borzoiism, by the way.
That was really good.
Vocal fry.
Did he say it with, like, typical Borzoi vocal fry, or was he more awake? Because sometimes
he did it, like, desperately trying to, he thought of it, and we were, like, laughing about it. So he was, like, desperately trying to get a word in edgewise, like, desperately, vocal, wait, guys,
stop. You can see him, like, jumping up and around the background.
Yeah.
Trying to get your attention. I know those
pick
feels.
Me. I have one. I have a pun. Anyway, the Washington Post immediately blamed Israel. You haven't even heard the bit. It's the funniest thing. Their only source was the Gaza Ministry of Health, a.k.a. Hamas, and Fetterman rightly called them out. It's truly disturbing that members of Congress rush to blame Israel.
Hold on. I missed a thing here. Did you already read this? This was before the President of the United States weighed in, before Barack Obama made his embarrassing and pathetic comments about how complicated it all was?
I might have skipped.
What did Obama do?
In the past.
So because they had a nigger president, a secret Muslim nigger president, they were scared that, like, that's what being liberal is. So this is a 3-minute video. You want to watch this?
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay. Oh, I remember. Yes, this is Barack Obama's comments
about
how complicated it all was. Well, here's this. I remember criticizing this. I remember this video. We can watch this again. Barack Obama basically says, here's something. Here's a fact. Like, the Jews should live there. Here's a fact. The Palestinians have rights. But we have to untangle all this. Like, and there's just no conclusion to anything.
To act constructively to do something. It will require an admission of complexity and maintaining what on the surface may seem contradictory.
Speed this
ideas.
Nigger up. Jesus Christ.
That what Hamas did was horrific, and there's no justification for it?
Of course there is.
And what is also true is that the occupation...
Oh, that's a bad word.
And what's happening to Palestinians is unbearable. And what is also true is that there is a history.
Well, you know, you got more applause for that.
Of course, you
got more applause for that.
Of the Jewish people that may be dismissed unless your grandparents or your great grandparents or your uncle or your aunt tell you stories.
My uncle? Oh, okay.
About the madness of anti-Semitism.
What's mad about it?
And what is true is that there are people right now who are dying.
What's with the jump cut?
Dying. Who have nothing to do with what Hamas did and what is true.
Right? Who the fuck are these uncomfortable niggers?
Yeah, who is that guy?
Those guys, Those guys look real upset.
It's these fucking alien looking niggas and shit. Who is this dude?
I don't know. They're like. I'd love to see them, like, how they have to, like, pull up on...
This is, like, really uncomfortable.
These are the two...
He's looking off at the corner of the room like it's on fire or something. Like,
these guys are, like, the flight crew.
The guy in the middle is like, wow, I picked the wrong chair.
He's like, I have to pull up on the stick after this nosedive Obama's got me. And how do I do this? How do I love Obama and try to come back around and make it all about Israel?
We can go on for a while. With the social media and trying to TikTok...
Look at the concern. The dude who put his elbow on... he's like, oh God!
Concerned.
Dude with the fist up in his face, like, I can't believe he's saying this. What do I do?
The point is that what Obama is doing is leading you. He's sort of like hypnotizing you into a place where there's just nothing to do.
Obama.
All we have to do is admit the complexity.
Well, he's taking away from the absolute moral authority of Zionism to be able to say, like, yeah, we have to just kill these Hamas people. They're terrible,
right? Well, they keep using
Palestinians. They keep using Palestinians as human shields, and what we do, we have to kill all those human shields and then kill all the Hamas people. There's no other path. Like, Obama's getting in the way of that, which is hilarious. Are you okay there? What's going on?
Yeah. Oh, I was reading the article.
Oh, okay.
I was looking for a picture of what Obama is turning into these days, but I found it.
He's a silverback. But he's a really skinny one. He's like a really skinny silverback.
He's a specific.
Oh, hold on. He's talking about TikTok. He's talking about TikTok activism.
Trying TikTok activism and trying to debate this on that.
Here you go.
TikTok
activism.
Trying to debate this on that.
Hold on. I missed it. I hate trying to do this.
Yeah.
Social media and trying to TikTok activism and trying to debate this on that.
TikTok.
Can't speak the truth. You can pretend to speak the truth. You can speak one side of the truth.
Oh, snap.
And in some cases, you can try to maintain your moral innocence, but that won't solve the problem. And so if you want to solve the problem, then you have to take in the whole truth. And you then have to admit nobody's hands are clean.
Oh.
That all of us.
Well, your palms are clean, right? If you go like
I'm
that.
I'm not fucking complicit. I'm sorry, Barack. I am not complicit in this.
Well, I just want to do a joke about his white hands because he's a nigger. Sorry.
I just wanted to do the joke about how he's turned into Grandpa from the Boondocks.
Well, yeah. The only part of his hands that are clean are like the palms because they're as white as my palms.
That's what I was saying. Because God told niggers, like, face the wall and put your hands on it, and then he spray painted them all.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom of the feet.
Right. Are complicit to some degree. I look at this and I think back, what could I have done during my presidency to move this forward?
Give Iran nukes.
Destroy Israel.
You could have given Iran nukes.
On his left hand. That means he must be working as a paramedic somewhere.
Nigga, doesn't everybody wear a watch?
Everyone was there watching on left hand.
Unless you're like right-handed.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I don't wear a watch usually, but whenever I did, it was on my left hand.
No, I have a clock on my phone, so I don't wear my watch anymore.
Right, I don't wear a watch because I have a clock on my phone, but like whenever I wore a watch, it was on my left hand.
I was just retarded the whole time.
Yeah, there you go.
As hard as I tried,
wait,
I've got the scars.
Hold on.
Oh, he's got scars?
You know what I got
is
these scars?
Is there something retarded about wearing your watch on your left
no,
hand?
No, I said as it turned out, I was retarded.
He thought he was only doing that because he was a rescue professional.
Oh, no, it's just, even when I think of the motion of looking at a watch, it's natural to do it like this. It's not that, it's like this
but we've got,
is natural.
But hold
that's
up, we've got a new Barack Obama, we've got a new Obama Joker meme dropping here. You want to know how I got these scars? I got these scars fighting for Israel while pretending that I was a Muslim sympathizer. Do you want to know how I got these scars? I was defending Jerusalem from Republicans. I got these scars.
From Bush Limbaugh.
I got these scars.
Palestinians dying. It's all part of the plan. No one cares.
One day.
But Jews die.
One day
everybody
I got,
was crazy.
One day I got Henry Kissinger came to visit me. And he said, Barack, why so serious about your Iranian nuclear deal? Now you see his smile is permanent.
I've got the scars to prove it.
Now you see these sanctions are permanent.
Well, was there something else I
keep trying to build a nuke? Keep trying and trying.
All these Jewish
schemers. Where do you think this uranium came from?
These Zionists.
Came from Niger.
Schemers. Everyone's got the plan. Just like you trust the plan.
having this cold is making it a little bit easier to do that.
Oh my God. It's not about the Gaza Strip. It's not about the civilians. It's about sending a message.
Yeah.
It's not about solving the problem.
It's about sending a message. It's about number 110.
Oh, see, I was acting as Barack the Zionist Joker.
Oh, I was just making comments.
Either way, yeah.
Israel with my, yeah. Wait, we could do that. It's like, it's not about
the peace process.
It's about sending a message.
No matter what you do, no progress is going to be made.
You want to know where I got these gray hairs? They say black don't crack. Look at me.
That's the conversation we should be having.
Oh, I got these gray hairs.
Who is this poor bastard? Who is this poor guy? Why is he wearing a collar shirt?
Who is this guy? This guy is like permanently concerned face. Like this guy is like, he's got like a pillow. He's got like a safety pillow, like a comfort pillow tucked under his other arm.
It says Pod Save America in crooked in the corner. Like, I don't know. Is that just, are they reposting that? Or is he on something called Pod Save America?
Pod Save America is some, like,
probably some conservative bullshit.
Stuff.
Oh, it is?
Not just looking backward, but looking forward.
No,
and that can't happen if...
We are confining
ourselves to our outrage. I would rather see you out there talking to people, including people who...
So I've taken a bunch of Palestinians, a bunch of Jews, and I put them on two boats. And you, Batman, can only save one. I'll do anything for Israel.
That's easy.
Not for Batman. Yeah, Michael Clark Duncan, throw the fucking remote detonator into the Mediterranean.
Whoa. I didn't know he was still alive.
Oh no, it wasn't him. It was Tiny Lister. I'm sorry. It was Tiny Lister who took the remote detonator and threw it in the, you know, Zeus from wrestling and Debo.
Debo. That's how I remember Tiny Lister.
You mean my boat?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do what you should have done 20 minutes ago, and just blows up Israel. That's what should have happened.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's like it would be like. Your boat, but like, you know, I could use it sometimes.
Like, I can use it sometimes.
It's like we keep it in my house, and like, yeah, but it's yours too. But you know, we keep it in my boat launch, though. You know,
you keep it in my boat launch. That's pretty funny.
You disagree with it? If you genuinely want to change this, you've got to figure out how to speak to somebody on the other side. And listen to them.
That's bullshit, though.
Of course it is. That's feel good, do good. That's do gooder crap. This is like optics. This is like trying not to offend like the Palestinian, like the Palestine sympathetic people on the left. Like that's all he's doing.
Right. That's what this is.
That's how we got these scars.
What this is basically glad handling liberals who are more inclined to be more sympathetic to Palestinians to make it seem like Barack Obama is really profound. He understands the complexity. He knows what's right and wrong. And basically then be happy with just nothing happening. So Peter Savodnik is like angry at this, and this is how Jews maintain the narrative, right? He's angry at that. He needs to be now. I don't think they're all cynical like this. Like I'm sure he's actually angry. But Barack Obama's thing of like let's look at the complexity. Let's be honest. Like both sides have done. I mean, what is so complex about like both sides-ism? Right? Like, that's kind of a bullshit premise, right? Like, okay, I'm going to acknowledge that both sides have done something wrong. Now, look at me. I'm the guy, the bridge builder, the genius. But it's like, but both sides think the other one is just worse. So who fucking cares?
Right.
Like, pick a fucking side. And the fact is, America has picked a side.
Yeah.
And you're pretending not to in order to placate people who tend to be on the other side. It's just bullshit. It's bullshit. It's like, it's literally like acknowledging that the other side has a grievance in order to like pawn them off and be like, fuck you. Right. It's instead of just being like, fuck you. It's like, I understand, but fuck you. It's literally like the same thing as that thing we were saying last week about conversations. Like, that's tough. I'm sorry you're going through that. Oh, you're being occupied by Israel. That's tough. I'm sorry it's happening to you.
If you want to hear my honest opinion, I was just kidding.
It's like,
if you want to hear my honest opinion, this is a complicated situation, and you have to listen to people on both sides. I was just kidding. nuke everyone, God bless Israel forever, right?
So you've been confined to a 26-long mile strip of land, and you can't get out, and you're in a cage your whole life, and you feel like you can't advance, you can't visit your family, and your whole life is a miserable clusterfuck. It is what it is.
I'm going to go ahead.
It is what it is.
I'm going to go ahead and have to ask you to go ahead and move your entire city like to the southern
have to
part
move
of
the Gaza Strip
as far into the southwestern, as far into the southwestern corner as
Egypt,
possible.
As far in, I'm going to have to ask you to move your civilization.
I want you to try to push it way back.
Far
here,
back Martin. Into the corner as possible. Oh my right God. There, you know. And that's literally what they fucking did.
What's so weird is, like, I haven't seen that movie in I don't know how many years, but, like, lately, like, we've been pulling up fucking memes from that. It's, like, so funny.
No, it's because it works. Like, it just works. It's one of those, it's shall we say, like, an era-defining piece.
You gotta have, like, you have a meeting with the Baracks about the Israel problem. Like,
what is it you do here? Out,
the reason that movie sticks in my conscience is it came out, like, just as I was out of high school and college permanently and starting to work in an office.
Yeah, I was in,
like,
a couple offices.
It was I was literally, like, right at the same point in my life as everybody in the movie. So I was like, okay.
Just a moment.
Yeah. Anyway.
So back to Savada. So he's trying to placate that sort of Palestinian sympathetic left.
Yes.
And of course,
while making any fucking promises and while saying the answer. And also,
well, right, I'm just trying to move on past it. It's like, and then Savadnik and Barry Weiss and those Jews all see this as like an existential threat to their entire. And it's like, guys, like, calm down. Like, they probably know too the kayfabe.
They know.
Going on
I'm sure that people,
but for their
like
audience, they have to,
and Barry Weiss are aware of the.
Yeah,
of
they
the
have to performatively.
It,
it's performatively. Yeah. They have to play their part in the game in the kayfabe. Right. They have to play the. I guess they're going to play the face role and paint Obama there as a heel.
This next part of this article is going to be truly a joy. I've read ahead a little bit.
All right, let's do it.
Some Polak going nuts with the fire.
Did you know that the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded? The only reason you're hearing this right now is because you're only getting half the show. There's so much content you're missing, and you'll never hear these ads again if you get behind the paywall at the rightstuff.biz/paywall.
So,
yes, that was good stuff. There's an edit where they put that fire extinguisher video in front of the Joe Rogan, like, UFC bit where they're reacting to the guy who broke his leg. Like, it's so funny. We played it last night on my stream.
I saw
do you remember
wide Putin walking down the hall? That
yes,
meme?
Yes. How could
somebody did that to the guy doing the fire extinguisher?
Oh, man.
With, like, the
so
same
good.
Music?
That's so good.
Yeah, that's good so stuff. Good. Gregor Braun is his name. That's the guy's name. Which is, like, just a perfect name for somebody that does some shit like that.
Braun. Oh, man. I would love to be able to find that.
Sounds like a UFC guy, right? Then on October 17th, there was the blast at the Gaza hospital. The progressive universe, including Democratic House members Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, and the New York Times and the Washington Post immediately blamed Israel. Their only source was the Gaza Ministry of Health, a.k.a. Hamas, and Fetterman rightly called them out. It is truly disturbing that members of Congress rush to blame Israel for the hospital tragedy in Gaza, he tweeted. Who would take the word of a group that just massacred innocent Israeli civilians? But are we now not past the point where we just accept that Israel actually bombed that hospital given everything else they have done for the last 2 months?
Well, yeah, it's been
given
well, no,
the fact
no, it's
that
written,
like,
it's
hospitals
written,
are target fucking number one.
No, it's written. It's just as you said it would be. It was written into the history. The facts were on the ground. Like, that was an incident. We don't know what it's about. We're just going to move past it. And now every time you cry out about another hospital
they've
hit, like, it's like
this,
it doesn't.
You're reminded.
Hit.
Remember the false. Yeah,
the
no,
false
they
one
literally
like, oh,
used
yeah,
it
that's bullshit.
As a
yeah.
way to yeah. prep. The, like, that's the other thing, and I would not be surprised. This is sort of like high levels of conspiratorial thinking, high levels of maybe too much. I'm spinning up too much of a thing in my head, but I always had the suspicion that maybe the New York Times was in on that. Like, mm-hmm. maybe
oh, of course, I'm sure
they set themselves up to get slapped down on that. You know. As part of building the narrative that, like, when Israel attacks hospitals, like, and you say that they're doing something wrong, that they are, like, actually you're being anti-Semitic. There's also some really there's some bad shit that I saw Israel doing, some real bad shit I saw them doing. I don't know if we're ready to get into that yet, but, like, actually using human shields where, like, basically
Israel.
No, but it's like they basically the troops, the Jew troops
well, we
are like marching through Gaza.
Up. We should finish
with,
this up
like,
and do that.
Yeah, we'll finish this up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get those videos while we finish it up. Okay. Let me grab some of them. I wanna have video of this, but yeah. I should have done that earlier, but we had to start early today.
So you want me to pick it up then? Where were we?
Yeah. I keep going. I'm listening. I'm just gonna grab it.
So then on
videos.
October 17th there was the blast at Gaza Hospital, the Progressive Universe, including the Democratic House. Members Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, the New York Times, and the Washington Post immediately blamed Israel. Their only source was the Gaza Ministry of Health. You already read this, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I read that one. Yeah.
Who would take the word of a group that just massacred innocent Israeli civilians over our key ally? Yikes. Then in late October, as if in defiance of the poster defacers, the liars, those trying to rewrite history as it was still being written, he plastered the posters with the names and faces of roughly 240 hostages being held by Hamas outside his Senate office. Oh, he hung the posters. Then on November 20, he reiterated his demand that Hamas release the hostages immediately. Got a bunch of hostages. They want them released immediately. And insisted that military aid to Israel not come with any conditions. For peace and a two-state solution, Hamas must be destroyed, and I fully support Israel's right to do that, Fetterman tweeted. Wow. Some hardcore stuff. By then, Joe Biden had taken an 11-point hit among Democrats for standing behind the Jewish state. Progressives on Capitol Hill were demanding a ceasefire. John Fetterman seemed like he couldn't care less. On December 1, the senator went on the morning show, The View, to say, I believe Israel has the right, but I also think it is imperative to destroy Hamas. He's just like super Zionist. Just, he could be like the new, he could be the Brock on like the, on my super Zionist, like fucking Venture Brothers parody. So, do you have things, do you have comments here?
I know you're looking at videos. Basically, what I saw.
A good thing there. Get somebody to animate that.
Okay, yeah, I've got some videos here, so.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd watch it. Yeah.
Wait.
Well, it's going to take a second, so I got
to. Wait, do you want to do the video? I thought the videos were like a thing we're moving on to. I thought you had stuff to say about more
stuff.
Oh,
no, keep going. Well, here's my thing. Like, yeah. I wasn't listening to that. I'm sorry. Okay, I can just catch up. I know this is great content, right?
I was reading,
Oh, wait, I believe Israel has. Okay, so he's mad that he's saying Israel has a right and imperative to, like, destroy Hamas.
Right.
Basically, remember when Fetterman was, like, walking out of Congress, like, waving his little Jew flag?
Yeah.
I mean, this is basically
him trolling little Palestinian, like, protest things that were going on. He would walk by raising his flag
this
and,
is,
like,
this
smirking.
Is basically just, like, based Fetterman just because he's supporting Israel. I mean, that's all it was. And it's, like, and he's supporting Israel. And he's like, oh, I'm so happy that, like, Fetterman isn't trying to do, like, the nuanced thing that most liberals do. And this means that, like, he's somehow better. Oof. You know what I mean? That he's like.
All right. This is Rich. Bear in mind that none of these things, railing against the murder of women and children, demanding the release of non-combatant hostages, ridiculing politicians for trusting a terrorist organization, would normally be all that remarkable. But we find ourselves in a strange, awful moment consumed by obfuscation and duplicity. Funny, like, those words always come around when you've got, like, Jews involved. A moment in which many of those in charge have a seemingly impossible time stating obvious truths, like one should not behead babies, intentionally killing non-combatants is worse than accidentally killing them.
But
what about, like one should not missile strike hospitals?
Right.
They actually acknowledge that that's wrong by pretending that they didn't do it. No, that was your missile. Your missile that usually doesn't do any damage or kill anybody actually killed 500 people.
Right.
So that's very funny. It's duplicitous and obfuscated. We have become so overwhelmed by uncertainty. I don't know what I think. I'm so overwhelmed with all this uncertainty, Mike. I'm just lost. What do I do? What are we going to do? I just don't know. I can't see my hand in front of my face. The fog is thick as pea soups. And I don't know. I just have
no
idea.
Well, this is like, this whole thing is like, whenever you get these Jews calling for, like, moral clarity.
Here we go.
It just means, like,
he just did, like, we're so overwhelmed by uncertainty, so incapacitated by our moral relativism.
Yeah, right.
That we've been rendered mostly impotent. Mostly impotent Zionism. I'd love to see it. I want
mostly
to see it.
Impotent.
That's what I want.
Speak for yourselves, guys.
You feel mostly impotent? You feel partially impotent?
I don't feel any sense of moral relativism about the situation
at all. Oh, I thought you were going to say you didn't feel impotent.
No,
I was going to say, that's my point.
I actually have absolute fucking moral certainty about this.
Is there anything complicated about it? There's no nuance here.
I don't have any nuance. I have no nuance.
I was going to make an impotent joke.
I have absolutely no nuance.
Nuance. Oh, no, you sent me a Telegram link.
I couldn't download the video, and so, oh, I see. Like, you had to just see if you could play it in Telegram. If you can't, whatever. I'll just describe it later on. Basically.
Describe the video for me. So what else we have? Like, there's, he's like, Zvonik's not done here. Was this such? This is so silly. Incapable of distinguishing.
Oh, this is rich. This is rich. This is
we're
rich.
Incapable of distinguishing between right and wrong, or defending our values, or forgetting what those values were in the first place.
Yeah, I've actually forgotten what they are. Can you seriously? Can you fucking remind me, Peter Svodnik? Because when you Jews start talking about values, I actually don't know what the fuck you're talking about, and I'm not lying, because I think I know. I think I know. But you actually, they are chameleon-like with how they discuss this. So when Jews talk about values, it's basically placeholder for your values, the person that they're talking to. You project your values onto me, and then make, and then maybe you'll start thinking that your values reflect my goals. My goals are reflected in your values. I'm not really going to be clear about that, just so that the switch is pulled in your mind that this is what you're doing. So you think that being like Judeo-Christian, or actually just being like an American that likes burgers, means you also want to blow the shit out of the Gaza Strip, right? No, I'm serious. Like, that's how they do it. Like, you like you're an American. You like capitalism and hamburgers. So that means like blow up fucking the Gaza Strip. Like, they pull this fucking sleight of hand all the time.
Love hamburgers.
There's only one of those three things that I like, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I like hamburgers. I never have been, and you'll never get me to feel bad about it.
I was recently speaking to a Zoomer. And I made the reference.
Do they like burgers? Do Zoomers like hamburgers?
Well, I was making the reference to, like, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger.
Oh,
today.
Yeah. They don't,
no fucking idea what I'm talking about.
Like, no idea what that is.
Oh, yeah. You don't know what that is.
You have to be like at least 40 years old to understand that. And I know McNabb is 40 years old.
I would
now,
know, like, my values. Yeah, like, I'm not confused about my. I'm going to ask Rich Evans what my values are.
Israel was a mistake.
No obfuscation there.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, if you want to see the Israel values, like that, you should just show the video before we go on. I think it'll be a nice insert right here. Our values. Let's show Israel's values.
Let's see. I can open Telegram desktop and maybe it'll play. The question is, can I get this to.
Because I couldn't get it to work in. Maybe, hold on, let me see. Maybe I can get it in the browser.
I was just browsing.
It'll work if you just drag the video.
I've got it here. You can drag. All right, I'll try to do that.
I mean, I can send you. This is like too much work. But for whatever reason, hold on.
No, that didn't work.
It doesn't work on Mega. Here, I can upload it.
I don't know what I'm doing.
That'll be a whole other fucking kettle of fish. It's only a megabyte and a half.
So this is a 20-second video. Like, yeah, what is happening? I see these Palestinians are walking through.
Okay, so basically, there is a video that is now uploading in the chat that you can grab and maybe drag into your browser. Basically,
so now
Israel
I have to close Telegram
shields.
Desktop because I'm going to start getting fucking like notifications from.
Yeah, Israel is using human shields. So this is Israeli soldiers marching around the Gaza Strip with bound Palestinian prisoners in front of them. So they have hostages. It's actually something that if you can grab the video and just drag it into a browser window, if you can, you don't have to, but like just make sure you know where you saved it, because it's something you should see, because they are in fact this is a war crime. Like, basically the soldiers are covering their own advance by surrounding us. There you go.
I it's because of the way the fucking windows are set up, I can't.
Yeah, I know. It's like you can kind of see it. There you go. There it is, right in front of McNabb. So the soldiers are covering their advance.
So these are okay.
So that they don't get that's some Jew singing or something like that. So that they don't get fucking wrecked by like anti-tank missiles and shit. They're covering their
you can't even fucking see
with
it.
Human shield,
with actual human shields.
You can't.
Yes,
see
that's
it
just that's.
We have, video of them, not allegations, not like some kike opinion that there was a human shield involved. Not the human shield is the hospital. No, literal human shields.
And they're also not taking them. This is also not them like taking these people prisoner. They have deliberately stripped them into just their underwear, put them in a chain gang, and like are marching them through the Gaza Strip so they can advance without getting blown up.
The thing that I hate about that is I can already hear the baby boomers saying stuff like, well, you know, they hadn't voted Hamas in, you know, if they hadn't voted for that government.
Right. Right. There's also no reason to believe that those are actually Hamas fighters. We don't know who they are. They're just people. Yeah. They're just people in Jewish
custody.
But they
voted for Hamas, which is just as
bad. One of the worst things about every fucking Jew war crime that you see in this war is that you can sit there and in your own head imagine the fucking retarded boomer making an excuse for it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you can imagine, and you can imagine them being like, yeah, well, our American army, we don't do that kind of stuff. We're a bunch of pussies. We don't get the job done. Like, at least the Jews get the job done. I'm like, yeah, but they don't. They really don't. And the reason they don't is because their country is a fucking perpetual war zone. Maybe when you treat people like this, your country turns into a fucking perpetual war zone. Did you ever consider that? You know, it's just like, you know, and it's also humiliating. If you're a Palestinian and you see that, what are you going to want to do? You're going to want to kill a fucking Jew. That's what you're going to want to do. When you see that shit,
that's
when you see your own people bound like that, being frog marched, is, you know, you're just going to be like, I hate these fucking Jews. I want to fucking kill them. Like, that's how it makes me feel, you know, in a theoretical state of mind, right? So my point is, like, this kind of shit, it's you're not – this is just a straight war crime. And you can't tell me about Israel's values when you see them doing this. And there's multiple instances of them doing this. This video just has two. But if you think it's not systematic at this point, this might be their grand innovation. Like, yeah, we're penetrating deeper in the Gaza Strip because we're just surrounding our platoons with fucking – like with prisoners of the other side. I mean, it's just illegal shit.
Hmm. So then,
unethical stuff.
So then, unexpectedly, after all the moral relativism, unexpectedly comes along John Fetterman, who was supposed to be a ruse, a sleight of hand manufactured by the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, who turns out to be his own man.
His own man.
Ask about Zionism in Israel.
I mean, his own man, really?
His own man.
I mean, are we really going to pretend that John Fetterman?
He just comes out and he's not a ruse. He's not a sleight of hand manufactured by the, like, there's definitely no,
well,
no PR
each,
was
each
done.
Each of his frontal lobes their own man?
Oh, boy. Here's what it's
for. He's got these two, he's his two own men. He's two of his own men.
I have no idea where this comes from. He's not Jewish. He grew up, as most everyone knows. Like, where does this come from? What is this fucking, where did Shabbos Goyim come from? He grew up, as everyone knows.
It couldn't possibly be the incredibly rich and powerful Jewish lobby. It couldn't possibly be Jewish media control. No. It couldn't possibly be Jewish political control of the Democrat Party. It couldn't possibly be Jewish donors. I mean, like, I have here's the thing, Peter. I have several ideas about where it comes from. I'd like to bounce them off you.
I also want to look at this.
You know,
like,
I mean, I think I could help you out with that.
You just said he's not a, the guy. Just said he's not a ruse, like the working class, downtrodden, fucking Carhartt sweatshirt, Rust Belt.
Yeah,
poor
that's
fag.
Also kind of interesting.
But he,
so Savodnik, his whole phony manufactured image, being a trust fund kid from a wealthy family in New York,
right.
Like dressing you're slumming it. Okay, sorry.
I'm saying Savodnik just said that he's not that, but then went on
to
describe him. He grew up, most everyone knows, in an affluent family in York, in South Central Pennsylvania, and he studied finance at Albright College, earned an MBA at the University of Connecticut, and was on track to become his father, an executive in the insurance industry. So, like, why are you telling me it's not a ruse? Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
Ruse.
Because he likes Israel. Like, this is a great American political ruse. You just...
Well, that's actually, that's kind of the point I was getting to. Like, the whole package of coming from a rich family, having like everything in his favor to be another rich business executive, and then deciding I'm going to wear like Carhartts and like basketball shorts and like sneakers with no socks, just like a regular schlub at Walmart in order to have a political career, and also have a stroke just to add the cherry on top of being like every other American walking around with your brain fried. That's not a ruse now just because he likes Israel?
Yeah, he likes Israel. That means he's his own man.
Like, like your whole package, your whole phony, like, dressing down to be like the working class, your whole fake thing is real now just because you like – literally, the fakest thing in the world is Israel.
Right.
So, like, you like a fake country. Therefore, all your other fake shit is real. I mean, I guess it's just like fakery inception. Now, there's just nothing real about him, so he's totally real, right? He's like the most fake man ever.
There's
so.
There's his
because you would expect that
Fetterman
is
trademark
that
working duds.
These
aren't trademark working duds. He dresses like a slob because it's a ruse. Like, yeah, he left behind that industry, the insurance industry, and his MBA and all this stuff and his affluence, not to go be a working man. He went to go be a fucking political operative.
He went to go be a person of Walmart or dress like a person.
No, he
of
went
Walmart,
to go.
Although
he
the
went,
Carhartts are nice.
This is actually what it was always for, so he could be Israel's most powerful
ally.
Do you
know what I like about that?
Mm-hmm. He's got those little short ankle socks on that just really sells the whole look.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was wearing sneakers with no socks.
You can't be like wearing shorts and have like, you know, like me, like the long socks on here. You know, I'm keeping warm because you can't have these with the sock.
Unless actually, that would kind of.
Unless you're a Mexican and from California. Together. If you had like.
I remember there was a point in like the 90s when niggers were like ironically just wearing their socks all the way up with their sneakers.
Oh, I remember that.
Well, I remember that.
Like they'd have like one all the way up, you know, the other one would be down.
They would always do that shit. One sweat pan up by the knee, the other one down. That, yeah. Like, niggers always would do dumb. You know what it was? Because you know what that shit was? All that stupid fat, it all comes out of prison.
Yeah.
It's all like how prison gangs demarcate each other, and then it trickles down through the nigger community to become like a fashion. Like the SAG was because you can't have a belt, like all that shit, right?
Instead of the Foot Clan, it's like I got the sweatpants clan over here.
Right. Like if you're in prison and you have to wear your prison oranges, right, all the time,
yeah,
or you have to wear whatever the uniform in prison is, you can't differentiate yourself by gang other than one gang pulls one leg up, right? One gang pulls one leg up to the knee and walks around. The other one doesn't. And so now we know who to shank when we have a riot, right?
Mm.
So, like, but I'm also like, why differentiate? Just shank everybody. Shank each other. You shank. Someone's doing the shanking. You know, just like keep shanking. Like, what's the point of knowing who you're supposed to shank or not? It doesn't matter. You're all niggers.
So
whatever.
But then he did something that, in retrospect, looks like foreshadowing. He left all that and became an organizer and the mayor of a dilapidated ex-steel town. He surprised everybody.
Yeah, what did he organize there? His own campaign.
He organized his like own image being groomed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He slowly climbed his way up the Democrat ladder to like political stardom. I remember like he's like the mayor of this nothing town that has no political significance whatsoever to the American experience, and he's on Bill Maher all the time. He was a constant. Maybe I'm over remembering, but Politically Incorrect and Real Time or whatever those shows were. He was on them. It felt like he was always on them. Like he had the infamous run in with was it Gillespie from Reason Magazine with "You Want to Take This Outside" bit when like was it Nick Gillespie that did that to him? I don't remember. One of those fucking soft libertarians that weren't real niggas. It's just like he had this whole manufacturer. Like they were. He didn't leave to go like. I don't know. Like that's part of the trick that he went to just like selflessly went to go be the mayor of like the worst place on earth. This is like surrounded by niggers and closed down steel factories. Steel factories. That's a good one. That's a good. Why does Mike look mad? Am I screwing this up or something?
Oh no! I was thinking about something else. I'm sorry. I was also thinking about how to spin the steel town thing because I'm just like he didn't even.
He's just a steel town shill on a Saturday night. Looking for a Shabbat.
No, but he took.
Oh, wait, no, Shabbat's over by Saturday night.
What he did
in
that steel town is he took an old factory or warehouse and he turned it into like one of these gay hipster like art museums.
Yeah, we've been over
this. Remember that shit?
If we go through what he did in that town, everything he did was like government grant, public pop. Like, he didn't do anything to try to. Like, I remember he had this, he had like a TEDx talk or a TED talk where he just sort of describes like what happened to this town without really. Spelling out, I was like, oh, business and white flight happened. He's just kind of like, where did all these people go? What happened? Yeah. And then it's like, oh, you know what I'll do?
Right.
We'll close down this medical building and we'll turn it into a fucking art loft.
Yeah, we'll turn it into like an art space.
It's like art lofts and niggers shooting at you. In fact, he had to stop a nigger himself from shooting people. Or a nigger shot a bunch of people and he like held him at gunpoint until the police showed up one night. And this is, of course, in 2020, that's like a major source of controversy that he actually tried to, he like stopped a nigger who had just done a violent crime. You know, and he had to like pretend that like, oh no, I didn't know what color the guy was. I just saw a man running from a shooting, so I grabbed him. So in the fall of 2022, is that what's going to be here? No. Height of the Senate campaign. It looked opportunistic, and it may have been at the time, but he made it clear on the campaign trail that he was a friend of Israel, which wasn't surprising. There were 434,000 Jews in Pennsylvania, almost all of them in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. And supporting Israel plays well with Republicans and evangelicals in the interior of the state. It's just smart electoral politics.
Does it?
Well, I mean, that's the design, right? That's sort of the idea.
First of all,
the idea.
I actually question the premise that Pennsylvania is a heavily evangelical state.
Yeah.
The people in the middle of the state, the religious people in the middle of the state are fucking like Amish people and Quakers and shit. They're not evangelicals.
Do they want to vote for like Carhartt Uncle Fester because he likes Israel? Like, is that going to sway? Like, if they're, well, now these people are Republicans.
This is a question for like James or just somebody who actually does real research. Like,
we can make something out of
us. How evangelical is Pennsylvania? Because my gut feeling is it's not particularly evangelical. My gut feeling is what I see with my own eyes living in this state is that the when you go to the middle of Pennsylvania and you see the people who are religious, they're fucking Amish and Quaker. They're not evangelicals. And that in the places, the most of the state, which is sort of like kind of like some rural stuff, some suburban middle class stuff. These are people who are generally a-religious and like either normie conservative, normie libtard, but not. I'm not seeing like a big evangelicals in the middle of Pennsylvania. State College is like direct smack dab, a big fucking college university town that's probably libtarded as hell, is like smack dab right center in the middle of the map of Pennsylvania. I don't know what he's talking about. He's just making shit up. It's not a, I guarantee you it's not a particularly evangelical state. Of course, I'm willing to eat that if it gets proven that I'm wrong, but I really don't think that it is.
So listen to this. In the wake of the Hamas attack, it would have been smarter to have gone along, unequivocated, embraced a fuzzier patois, one that different constituencies could interpret differently, but he took a straighter, clearer path. He will, of course, pay for this somehow. Mm-hmm. Progressives will not forgive him for defending the colonial settler state. Former campaign staffers
I won't forgive him for supporting the genocidal Zionist state.
So he says former campaign staffers haven't. So I guess he must have been blasted by some staffers because there's a link to that. In October, they wrote an open letter to Fetterman criticizing him for supporting the collective punishment of Palestinians. You can't be a champion of forgotten communities if you cheerlead this war, the letter declared. It's like, oh, yes. Oh, he's like, of course I can. When Fetterman's term is up in 2028, it's possible that the left wing of his party will try to primary him out of office. That's not how that works. If that happens, he'll probably be protected because he's – look, have you noticed like Fetterman is in on every – Fetterman has flip-flopped and changed his position to be totally in line with the establishment. He believes in every he's in line with every business interest and foreign policy interest of the United States like elite. Like he's not going to get primaried out. This illusion that like supporting Israel is going to make – because those damned anti-Semitic Democrats, like this is what makes this two-party system so, it makes it so abundantly clear how fake this is. Because you know, like that's not going to happen. It's still going to be like unanimous, like House votes on aid to Israel and shit like that.
Yeah, right. I mean that's the thing. This is, like, Peter Savodnik is just it's just like yeah. I'm now like really wondering how evangelical pens. I love to like oh. You know, I mean, we can look that up later. But
I mean, it doesn't.
Funny.
He's just telling himself stories. Well, he's telling his audience stories to keep them endeared to the fucking subject. Like you're, it's like Peter Savodnik is like, I'm winning. I'm a Jew who's winning, but I have to like spin my stories like I'm a victim, so that people don't get comfy that I'm just fine and I'm winning. And you know what I mean?
So
it's like we have to keep these people on board because we have to be able to raise the alarm and create what's that bit with sales that they do? You have to create a sense of urgency. You know, you can't
yes.
You can't be like, oh, I like that product. You'd be like, I have to buy this product now. Otherwise, you know what I mean? That's what they mean.
Otherwise, this deal is going to go away.
Yeah.
So hold up. Listen to this. Apparently, did you already read this paragraph? Apparently, the new senator of Pennsylvania doesn't care about that. He appears to care about something else.
Oh.
Something that will extend far beyond John Fetterman and his tenure in the United States Senate. The principle of self-determination. For all his faux thuggishness, there is about Fetterman and insistence on truth and integrity. Shut the fuck up. Additionally, God. I mean...
insistence on Zionism in Israel.
Oh, wait. Is possible the left wing of his party will try to primary him out of office?
No, they won't. That's where I was. That's what I was commenting. I was like, no, he's in line with every establishment business and foreign policy.
No, they won't. They don't have the machine to do it anyway.
Even if they the did, machine, like, he's the establishment candidate. There's not going to be like the idea that like there's going to be a populist uprising against Senator John Fetterman. Why do you think he wears the Carhartts?
That's not quite exactly what he's saying, though. What Jews do when he's not saying this, but this is there's an implication here. What Jews do when they don't like somebody, it's literally exactly in reverse what happens to people like Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, or even probably Thomas Massey. It's going to happen too at this point too. That like when they don't like
he's telling you right here a primary would deplete his war chest. It would leave him more vulnerable in the general. he definitely wouldn't be a Democratic celebrity like he was in 2022. So that's basically that's the plan that you're laying out. That's what they
do. That's their playbook, and he's saying bloody the left wing, the anti-Semitic wing of the Democrat Party will do that. The problem is that's the Jew playbook. The left wing of the Democrat Party is not organized enough to do that. The best that they can do is get a third party like the Green Party to put somebody in and bleed votes, and then the Republicans win. That's typically how that's done. That's how the left swings their dick in the Democrat Party, right? They don't do it like this primary. This is all Jew stuff. They don't have a machine to do this. Jews do have a machine to do this, and the reason they have a machine to do this is because Jews have like a stable of like big donors that give to both parties and select candidates. So the Jews literally have a huge group organized through all their different Jewish federations of extremely wealthy businessmen, executives, financiers, Larry Fink types, whatever, all these people. And they sit there and they fucking choose candidates and they choose where their money goes to. They don't always win every time, because sometimes you'll get like a Rashida Tlaib where, frankly, the district that she is in Michigan is where Dearborn is. So it's filled with Arabs. Like someone like her is going to win no matter what. But they still will try and primary or buy off an Arab.
Yeah, they tried to get like a Zionist Arab last time, or a Zionist African nigger or something. I can't remember. That might have been a Republican.
They did this to Ilhan Omar where they are like, okay, she's in Minnesota. There's like Somalis in her district.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is they can buy the Somalis. They can't buy the white Minnesota libtards.
Buying Somalis by the
pound. That's what's sort of like annoying about it. So she won again. But the people that are really going to be primaried off are not John Fetterman. It's going to be the left wing of the Democratic Party. It's going to be Ilhan Omar. It's going to be Rashida Tlaib. They're going to get primary. Now, whether it works or not, I don't know, but they're going to try. That's what Jews do. Jews have a whole slate of – I've already said it. Like their billionaire class picks, okay, we want this guy in this district, this guy in this district. We don't like this guy. Money like floods into these fucking fake and gay candidates just to get these people out. So that's what's happening. But then he goes like he cares about like this principle of – you expect me to believe that John Fetterman
– self-determined his Zionism. His support for Israel. They could be protesting.
Hey, are you still listening? You should get behind the paywall. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and get yourself a subscription.
Hamas, he tweeted on December 4th after demonstrators massed outside an Israeli restaurant in Philadelphia. They could be protesting Hamas's systematic rape of Israeli women and girls, or demanding the remaining hostages be immediately released. Instead, they targeted a Jewish restaurant. It's pathetic and rank anti-Semitism. I wish more of our leaders would be more so surprising.
Who targeted a Jewish restaurant? Is there some like...
I guess there was a protest outside of a Jewish restaurant.
Why not? Who cares? Fuck your Jewish restaurant.
I think they fired a bunch of employees who were actually like pro-Palestine too.
Well, there was that... there's actually a video of this.
Right.
Oh, this is actually great. So protesters in Philadelphia stand outside a Jewish Israeli-owned falafel restaurant. So they're stealing Arab food.
Oh, my God. It's a falafel place?
They always do. Dude,
hold it down for a second. Be right back.
Do you remember? I don't know if you remember, but like, see, he's not listening to me, or maybe his ears in. Anyway. Okay. When we first moved here, where we live now, in the region of Pennsylvania where we live, I saw driving around a sign like around the store or something like that, just posted someplace. And it was like Jewish food festival. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. Jewish food festival. And the foods were like smoked sausage, hummus and falafel, and hamburgers. And I was like, wait a second. Hamburgers. None of these are your foods. These are the foods of the people who you have like occupied and subverted their civilizations. So you have like German food, Arab food, and American food. These are not Jew foods. These are like the foods of your subject peoples, you fucking kikes. Like, so, like, I've seen this before, too, where Jews run falafel places in New York City. I've seen this shit. Anyway, the people are outside there chanting, Goldie, Goldie, you can't hide. We charge you with genocide. That's such a left-wing thing to do. And John Fetterman is like A-logging them. It could be protesting Hamas.
the accusation they're committing is genocide is deeply anti-Semitic.
Wait a minute.
You're not supposed to say that. You can't say it like that.
How much do you charge for genocide? How much? Well, can I get his deal on that?
Yeah, no. Well, they were charging her genocide. So,
but yet, to go back to your Jewish food story. So another thing around this area, this was like, if you need to know any more about Ukraine and like the conflict there, it's like,
I remember this.
Somebody
opened up
a Ukrainian deli. I'm like,
yep, I remember that.
I'm
it
like,
happened
shut
like right
the
when the war started.
Fuck
too.
Up. Like talk about like war profiteering.
It's just obviously
it's like,
Jews.
I haven't
too.
Been in there, but I want to go in there. It's like, I guarantee this is just a Jewish deli. I'll go in there and it's like matzo ball.
Oh, it's
fucking,
just kikes. Yeah, there's no question.
They had like
there's
a
no question. I know exactly the place. Yeah.
They tried to have a Ukrainian festival one day where it's just like, I mean, so you're just going to have like vendors like selling
it's just
your
like
fucking,
matzo balls and shit.
Like, what are you doing? I have to go check that
the
out.
The only authentic
like,
Jewish food is like brand is like literally like a bland cracker. Like it's just it's
like
literally
foreskins.
Just like flat dough with no
Jewish
no
food
nothing.
Is it's foreskins and like fucking the blood of fucking Jewish children. You know, they just drink baby blood.
Yeah, Jewish food is just like fried foreskin in the shape of like matzah. It's like, you know, just flatten it out. Sorry, we should stop. That's really gross. Foreskin
it's,
bacon.
It's fucking
we don't. Bad. They don't eat pork because like yeah.
So what
anyway.
Else do we got here? You got a couple of links here that I opened up before I went. You got AIPAC targets black Democrats while congressional black caucus stays silent. Is that what you sent me? You want to do that next? Or was there, there's a couple of links you put in the chat here.
Then he says, I wish more of our leaders would be so surprising.
Yeah, that
Here's
was
the
his,
thing,
that was
I'm
his
not
last
surprised.
Line. No, no one's surprised.
I'm not surprised. I guess the one thing that makes me a little bit surprised is if Fetterman didn't do a little bit. I'm a little surprised, I guess, that he didn't actually do more equivocation, that he just went all in on Israel.
Yeah, he went hard.
That is slightly surprising. But that just means that he's actually never really that he's always been a fake, which we kind of always knew. So I guess we shouldn't have been surprised when he just went all in for Israel because everything he's done has been fake. So why not just keep being like a fake shill? Like he's just always been a fake shill. So why not just keep that up, right?
Yeah,
there's no authenticity to him, so he actually isn't what he's pretending to be.
Also, he feels safe in his life. I mean, 6 years from now, what's it going to be like? If he probably 4 years from now, right? I don't remember when his term was up. I know it said it was 28 or 26 that it's up. Whatever. But yeah, I don't think that's electorally risky to be like super Zionism in like Pennsylvania.
Yeah, no, because I had posted an article back from September. The title of it was AIPAC Targets Black
I've
Democrats
got that open right
While
here.
The Congressional Black Caucus Stays Silent. AIPAC has given at least $3.6 million to the CBC's old guard since last year.
Who's this nigger that's too tall for the picture? What happened here?
The Intercept.
$3.6 million, CBC's old guard since last year, while members of the squad draw the Israel lobby's ire. The American Israel Public Affairs Committee. Let's just like the basically the Zionist election interference corporation. That's who
it is. Right.
Well,
just
I
like
mean,
the foreign country election.
Isn't that just wild? Like, okay, so an organization that lobbies for a fucking foreign government is going to start throwing money at American politicians to get them to kick out somebody they don't like.
What, me
it's
worry?
Insane.
It's exactly what I just said. They do. Like, exactly
it's
what Fetterman
nuts.
Is saying, that they're the left. Exactly what Sabotnik is theorizing, that this magical, mystical left wing of the Democrat Party, which is just like whatever, like it doesn't have. Where is the left wing of the Democrat Party's AIPAC?
Here we go. AIPAC and its Republican
donors.
They don't have it. AIPAC and its Republican donors are intentionally targeting progressive members of the Congressional Black Caucus with right-wing primary challengers. This is Alejandra Rojas, or Alexandra Rojas, the executive director of Justice Democrats. No affiliation, right?
I remember the old Justice Democrat. The Justice Democrat thing is like fucking dead, dude. I guess if there's anything like an AIPAC, it would be Justice Democrats. But Justice Democrats is, it's always been a shit show. It's always just been like just whatever, you know, like nothing really goes on with that.
The CBC and every caucus in Congress has the opportunity now to demonstrate their power and stand up for all incumbents against AIPAC's role in funneling GOP dollars to Democratic primaries. Who said that? Is that Rojas?
AIPAC Rojas.
Is, Anything else juicy here? Any pack is seeking the challenge?
There's some stuff, some localism is related to you guys, I think. Bhavani Patel, a council member in the city of Edgewood, Pennsylvania, is reportedly planning to run against Lee. Jewish Insider reported that it was unable to confirm if APAC had met with Patel. Patel did not respond to a request for comment. So there's that Jewish Indian alliance again. I think it's very interesting that APAC was basically just going around knocking on every fucking door to find somebody to run against these anti-Zionist Democrats.
Old Guard versus the Squad. That's a big subheadline in here. The caucus has sometimes stood against the new crop of rising black progressives. The CBC bet against Representative Ayanna Pressley, Massachusetts, in 2018, and backed her white incumbent opponent, former Representative Mike Capuano. Pressley won and joined the CBC. Bowman angered the old guard of the caucus when he endorsed the progressive candidate Cori Bush in her 2020 primary in Missouri against William Lacey Clay, a centrist who had been a CBC member for 2 decades. Bush also won and joined the CBC, Congressional Black Caucus.
When they say old guard, they just mean Jewish guard.
Dude, this whole website.
The Intercept?
I have gone to the front page of this the Free Press. This is Barry Weiss's website.
The Free Press. We're reading The Intercept. But yeah, The Free Press. What do you got
there?
I know. Yeah,
I know.
The Free Press is hilarious.
There's this article, Claudine Gay is Why I Never Checked the Black Box. And it's like some black person who's like, I never like identified as black because black left wing.
You know who else never checked the black box? The 9/11 commission.
It's just like the only thing you should do in politics is like support Israel and Jews. And when you're not doing it, like that you're some kind of problem. But and just like a long fucking spiel about that. I don't know, it's just stupid.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Anyway, like, this is just stupid. Like, anyway, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. But, yeah, sorry. I'm trying to stay on track, but there's, like, a bunch of dumb fucking shit distracting me, as you can imagine. So I'll just try and stay on track and not look at anything.
I'm going to go back to the Free Press now. On the Free Dictionary.
Well, go to the front page. Oh, dude, this happened last night during the show. My browser just fucking quit out. I think I need to do some, like, systemic changes on my computer. I think I need to do some systemic changes on my computer desktop because, like, maybe Breivik for some reason keeps quitting out. I think I actually need to update my system here. I've been putting it off for a little bit. But anyway.
So, you want to read this Claudine Gay thing or you want to look at other stuff?
I mean, we could look at it.
The woman in the Hamas video is my daughter.
It's just some nigger. Like, it's like basically saying, I love Jews.
Oh, I want to listen to Honestly with Barry Weiss. She hasn't posted one since. Why half of American babies are born to unmarried mothers? Why is that? How do I get this?
Okay, hold on.
This is gay. I'm not opening up fucking Spotify to listen to you, Barry. I don't even have a fucking... Never mind. Back to the Free Press.
Wait. So,
the woman in the Hamas video is my daughter. You've seen the video of my daughter, Nama Levy. Everyone has. You've seen her dragged by her long brown hair from the back of a Jeep at gunpoint somewhere in Gaza, her gray sweatpants covered in blood. You may have perhaps noticed her ankles are cut. She's barefoot and limping. She's seriously injured. She's frightened. And I, her mother, am helpless in these moments of horror.
So, yeah, there's just a lot of shit on this site. They've got this how to really fix American higher education. Our universities must return. This is Barry Weiss, must return their original purpose. We already read this shit, but like, or I mean, we didn't. This is from 2 days ago, but we've read stuff like this. We went through last night all of the Ivy League presidents, which since Stryker wrote his article a few years ago for the old National Justice site about how like 7 of 8 of the presidents of Ivy League institutions are Jewish. Like there's been a significant changing of the guard. So the only two presidents left from when he wrote that article are the two at Yale and Princeton, who are two Jewish men. Okay. The rest of them have changed, and the rest of them are women. And the only one who's not Jewish or married to a Jew was Liz McGill from Penn, who has now lost her job.
Right.
So I was actually wrong saying that the only non-Jews in the Ivy League presidencies were the ones dragged before Congress. First of all, MIT isn't really like Ivy League. It's sort of like Ivy League adjacent.
Okay.
But it's still like in that same – it's like in that same tier, right? It's considered to be in that same tier.
It's and the president of MIT Jewish. They're very much so an elite institution.
The president of MIT is Jewish. It's a Jewish woman named like Kornbluth. And so she didn't lose her job. and Claudine Gay, there was pressure for her to lose her job, and she didn't. But the woman from MIT, who was also doing the equivocal answers and stuff on, like, if you yell from the river to the sea, you're calling for death for Jews or something. But she's Jewish, and so she got, like, the full support of MIT faculty, and she's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Liz McGill had to go because she's the only one who's not Jewish, and her husband isn't Jewish.
Right.
The only fucking one. The president of, like, Dartmouth is a Jewish woman. The president of Columbia is an Arab woman married to a Jew. It's just like it's a fucking mess. It's like so Jewish, and they literally got rid of the only one who isn't Jewish or married to a Jew. They got rid of her. That's what I think this whole thing was really about. Because Claudine Gay, I should say Claudine Gay is not Jewish, nor is she married to a Jew, but she's black.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no like white people that don't have a connection to a Jew somewhere that are in any of these institutions. And of course, like, you know, Yale and Princeton never got brought into this at all because it's just like these two old Jewish guys that are the presidents of those institutions. So it's just like this is what this was about. And there's a lot of interesting stuff with Penn. It's interesting how Penn was always at the center of it. It really makes you think when you go back and you're like, this whole push about the colleges and the anti-Semitism on campus that started with this war and with the reaction to the war on campus, do you really think that, like, you know, they were focusing on Harvard and they focused on Penn, and they focused on Penn because Penn also had that Palestine Writers Conference like a month or so before the war, when like all these Palestinian writers and activists were allowed to go to the campus and have their thing. But in the end, it feels like the focus was because that's an institution whose president wasn't Jewish or had a Jew in their family. And so that was sort of where all of the everything was targeted. In the media, everything was targeted at Penn. What was going on at Princeton and Yale? You didn't even hear anything about Princeton and Yale in the media. Do you really think there weren't Palestine protests on the campuses of Princeton and Yale? I doubt it. I'm sure that there were. So why were they completely left out of it? Well, because those institutions are just comfortably in the hands of Jews. I mean, it's quite stunning when you actually sit back and look at how this operates and how Jews operate. And now they've got their board of trustees. The head of their board of trustees wasn't Jewish either at Penn. He stepped down. Now they got a Jewish woman in there who's got deep roots with the Jewish community, as we covered last show. So it's just like when you see this stuff, you know, there's a tendency to get sucked into like what they're actually talking about, you know, like the issues that they're actually.
Oh my God, I'm back again. Please, you've made it this far into the show and you still haven't shut this version of it off, deleted the file in anger, and gone over to therightstuff.biz/paywall to create a subscription and get rid of this nonsense. Please do so. We'll both be happier for it.
What are you talking about? Like the anti-Semitism, and if you say this, you're talking about genocide. But it feels like it's literally just fucking a show to cover the replacement of a Gentile with a Jew. You know, which is right. Kind of, you go back in American politics, you see this all the time, like the Vietnam War. Was this really something that they cared about? Or was this something that they were using to replace the defense and the diplomatic establishment with Jews?
Mm-hmm.
Because after the Vietnam War, the State – and Henry Kissinger was part of this. The State Department is an entirely captured institution. It is entirely Jewish. The State Department is an entirely Jewish institution.
And this is what the deep state is. You know, like I was looking at, like,
it's Jews.
It's funny, I was looking at some other shit last night. I was thumbing through while we were doing the live stream. I don't really get deep into stuff on there, but I came across somebody that was posting, you know, and talking about Ben Garrison cartoons. It's like the MK Ultra stuff they go through, the trigger words for conservatives and whatnot. And one of them is like a deep state, and that's another one of these terms become completely meaningless since 2016.
More like heap state.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The heap state. Like the deep state is not the deep state is, you know, there. I think it was a cartoon.
Potential show title there.
It was, right. Yeah, right. It was a cartoon about, I think we've done that before. It was a cartoon about, you know.
We probably have.
It was a cartoon. It was a cartoon he did about Alex Jones being allowed back on Twitter, and it had him, like, he's hung a bullhorn and he's yelling at, like, Klaus Schwab, and he's got a suit on that has WEF written on it. He's like, whoa. And it's just like the deep state and this and this and that, like, reeling. It's like, I'm not sure the deep state is really worried about Alex Jones being back on Twitter, but all this MK Ultra stuff. I'm like, look at it. Let's go. We're winning. We're fighting. It's like, Nah, man. The Heap State is picking John Fetterman and supporting Zion.
We've never had a show titled Heaps, the Heap State before.
No?
I just checked. Yeah. No, we got, I got some, I did search it and I got some nostalgia for some old stuff, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. What we get? It's good.
Well, let me see it again. Let me see. The Heap State on our show, on our site. I got Third Rail 277, does Guildhausen dream of electric Heebs? We got TDS 1077, visiting the most dangerous class in America. TDS 1073, open carry folding chair, which is great. And then an old issue, an old episode of FTN, which frankly probably doesn't work anymore.
No, those all expire for whatever reason. Just try to find them.
Which is Israeli Panopticon. Yeah, it's just not. There's nothing going on there. Yeah, I do actually have to do, frankly, a lot of work on our website, which hopefully I will have time to do in future. But yeah, that's another thing I wanted to say. Yeah, we're going to be doing some work updating our site. There's going to be changes to it. Just fixes of all the sort of annoying little technical bits. I mean, we're close to the end of the hour, so.
Yeah, we got to go. The reason we're on early, everybody, is like Mike's going to be on PWR at 2 p.m. Is that right? 2 p.m.
Right.
So we started, 2
p.m. our time. So it's right now 11:15. We have plenty of time to finish out hour two right now. But I do want to just say something, which is, yes, I mean, that's just sort of what I mentioned about our site. Like, I know that there's been lingering technical issues on the site. We're going to get that shit cleaned up. Now I've like written a check that my mouth is just written a check that I'm gonna have to cash, but I actually do have an idea of what to do with all that stuff. But yeah, mainly like you get this podcast player when there's not necessarily a podcast attached to the post, and you're like, oh, I can click play and hear something. It's like, oh no. I mean, at least you go back in the catalog. So I gotta fix a lot of that old stuff. There's a lot of technical debt. But
there's like six million platforms lost over the years, and like all the
it's not entirely our fault. It's because basically I mean look, again, if we could just use services, this shit wouldn't happen, but they just don't want us to be using services, so we have to, like, every time we build up like hundreds and hundreds of posts, and they're like, oh yeah, that thing you were using, you just lost it, like fucking Libsyn. So now it's like, oh, how do we quickly recover from
we used to do a post that had two players on them, and then you like lost both things. It was like, oh, all right then.
I wonder if there's probably still like Zencaster and Bedcode like on old posts and shit on
there
the site.
Are. I've taken them down when I've gone to recover like stuff for reruns. I've deleted Zencast code as well as Libsyn code. Remember fucking SoundCloud? Those were the days. Now I bet we could use all those services again. SoundCloud, most of them don't exist. There's two services left, Apple Podcasts and like Google Podcasts, right? You probably use them again. There's just be like the algorithm is like, nope, we're never gonna let it get out of your bubble. Of your establishment. You know what I mean?
Maybe we could syndicate the shows out on there and just see what happens. No one, I mean, that's the thing. We should.
They'll just make sure no one can find them, or that they don't ever get suggested. Yeah. That's sort of the play as I see it, because they've sort of got all this. They've got all this algorithm shit on lockdown, which is what they were working on all through that time. It's like, how do we?
I mean, in the end, what I realized though was that building our own media server was actually not as hard as I thought it would be. Like getting a computer. Doing that wasn't as difficult as I thought. But back when we started, we wouldn't have been able to do that shit. Services have come along to the point where, we can now do that. Yeah. But, yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break here so we can get the second hour in and get you shuffled off to the Mark show there. So we'll be back.
You are listening to the Daily Sell-Off.